Don't feel like watching movies, so I'll watch people get them instead. I don't know how it goes, I think it starts with your
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Valley Cast from the Valley Folk, who are supported over at patreon.com/thevalleyfolk by our amazing patrons who help make this podcast and the company work. They give us prompts for things like this, which you'll hear later. They get bloopers exclusively early and all that jazz and a lot of other fun merch discounts. Please come help us make this thing keep going. Today, we have a very special guest, dear friend, former co-worker.
Special,
dear, amazing. Darren Gerdner, everybody.
Wow.
Darren Gerdner.
Crowd goes wild. I'm here.
Please add
it's
more
been crowd. Long awaited. You've tried to get me on this for a while, and I dodged your text for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. I was just nervous. I'm nervous to talk to my friends, all right?
Were you really nervous? Is that really the reason?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. I don't know why. For some reason, like podcast, even though I used to do one, they kind of make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
At first. Like it kind of takes like a moment to get into it. You know what I mean?
Well, we're in that moment right now. It's real.
Let's
we're all doing
it
together. Yeah, this is nice. Let's bask in the awkwardness for a second. Dude, I miss you. How are you doing?
I miss you too. I'm doing well. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw you and I mean,
it's definitely pre-COVID, right?
Well, for sure, but I think it's pre that as well. Like, I think I maybe came to get footage and I saw you for a second, but
wow.
It's been a long time. Yeah. I don't even know where you're at in the world.
Los Angeles.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I'm in Los Angeles, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
are now.
You at the Valley Folk office?
I am, yeah. It'd be weird if it'd be cool. It'd be very dedicated if I decorated my own place like this.
Hey, babe, look, the office isn't going to be an office. It's just going to be a small recreation of the ValleyCast podcast set, which we've never used officially.
Nope.
But we're going to do it in our place. And is that cool?
That's cool.
I think it's
passion. It'll just be me by myself. It's perfect.
That's actually
in LA.
Elliot's in his bathroom at home sitting on the toilet.
Yes, I am. I do sometimes save it till I'm at the office because it's a good bidet. But Darren, you're still in LA, I'm assuming? Are you in North Hollywood still?
Yeah, I'm not in North Hollywood, no. I'm in Filipino town, I guess, Echo Park.
Okay.
Don't try to find me, please. But no, I...
Darren's just talking to me when he says that. He's not talking to...
Yeah, specifically Elliot. Joe's brought a couch to my house once. Joe's been here. It's a nice place. It's big. There's a lot of space.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you.
And I have my own studio. Look at the room I'm in. This is my own fucking studio. Can I guess?
Yeah, all you want.
This is my own fucking place where I can just create. And sometimes I'm in here and I'm just sad. And that's okay, too.
Didn't you?
But a lot of the time, like, it's just a good spot
to be. Didn't you ferry in? And don't you have, like, a recording booth, like, shoved in the corner of your room?
Yeah, you can't. This camera angle is not the one you guys are seeing. They're seeing on because I'm recording a separate laptop. But no, like this huge ass vocal booth that I don't know if you can see. It weighs a ton. I'm never gonna be able to get it out of this room. But I got it for free from my friend Ian Doki, and I fucking love it. Sometimes I'm in there and I'm hotboxing by myself, or
great.
Recording songs. You know, just living life.
Yeah.
The kids call it vibing.
Vibing. Sorry.
Vibing. Yeah.
I'm turning 30 next week, so I don't know all the
Do you want to do you want to speak publicly about what's going on with your hair and everything?
what's going on with my hair?
I don't know if it's part of it. Sometimes when guys grow out their hair, it's part of a spiritual and like emotional psychological evolution, and sometimes it's because there's a pandemic and they just didn't get their hair cut. But you look like a guru almost, or like. You look wiser, but maybe it's just a...
He also might just be wiser.
Yeah,
I feel wiser. I think I've always wanted to have long hair, like down to my fucking belly button. But I think when I was a kid...
That's egregious. That's
a young
that's
adult,
an egregious
I should say.
Amount of hair. I'm just going to say it now.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But
it's a lot.
I'm Asian. I feel like it would just look good. As it does now, like, can we just relish in it a little bit?
Yeah, it looks good. It's very nice.
I got my last haircut February, right before the pandemic happened. And then I just decided, like, I don't, Good. I don't need a haircut anymore. Let's just grow it out and let's see
you
what
like
happens.
It? Is it too much? Is it?
It's honestly, I love it. I really do. I really do. I'm like looking at myself. It feels the most me, you know?
I like
it. It took a long time to get there, but yeah, I'm feeling
Hell
it.
Yeah.
You are like you, it too?
I like the curls.
I like it.
Those curls are dreamy.
Thank you. And that's just natural.
You look free. You look like a free person who's doing, you look like an artist. Like a true artist, which I believe you to be.
What a fun
and now you look like
segue
it.
That you just brought up, because everybody that's listening right now, I think our fan bases cross pretty Venn diagrammingly. Darren goes way back with us. He started at SourceFed super early, I think pretty much the same time that we did. And our creative and friendship paths have been just crisscrossing and weaving within one another. And we've helped each other out through the years. And he's done a lot for the Valley folk. But I wanted to talk to Darren today because while Darren has been so good at lending his abilities and talents to other people, from SourceFed
so
to
nice.
Valley folk to Smosh, like he's touched so many entities and improved them and made them better. What people didn't know a lot of the time is that behind the scenes, he was like struggling, and his true heart was in creating music and creating a path for himself that's had its ups and downs. But I feel like when I talk to you and I see you, the current path that you're on and the current moment that you're in is one that it feels like success. It's one that feels exciting. It's one that puts a smile on your face, which puts a smile on my face. And I just want to talk about where you're at with your music, where you're at with your creative day to day, your TikTok renaissance. I want to talk about all of it because I think it's all well deserved. And I'm so happy that you're in a happy place as far as your expression goes.
That might be the nicest thing a friend has ever said.
Your hair sucks. You. Fuck your hair.
You have to bring me down, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's been a long time. It really has. I mean, I feel like I want to know your perspective on what you thought the other night when I called you out on my Instagram story, when I tagged you very purposefully. Do you remember that?
You were saying that you got skills and you use them? Like, I wasn't quite sure. I thought you were very high, so I just kind of let it go.
Oh, yeah. The edible had just kicked in, and I was like, man, I'm tired of these people. I've worked at every YouTube company. Philip DeFranco, SourceFed, Joe Beretta, Smosh. Y'all need to invest into me. Then that's just really what I was feeling. I was worried because, obviously, like, I'm joking, partially. But I just, you know, when you're on an edible...
Wait,
to like make it all about.
Hold on. What do you? What happened? What did you say? Of the
he doesn't even know.
I forgot Elliot was. I forgot Elliot
like,
was here.
This
Elliot,
conversation.
You're here still?
Yeah. I was just like,
oh,
what?
Okay. I called out Joe on Instagram story like literally 2 nights ago. That's why I feel like Joe's giving me such a nice intro, but he probably means
I didn't
it,
even think it was
nice
a mean
man.
Call out. Now I'm confused.
Oh really? Everybody like I got a lot of DMs that were like. Obviously because a lot of people from SourceFed just like laughing because I was calling you out. In the moment I felt like maybe it was too aggressive, but to me it was that's what I was saying.
What did you say?
I don't even know what you said now.
I was just essentially saying I'm tired of working for other people. They need to work for me. They need to give me money and help me thrive. You know, just high and just saying whatever I want because I'm in my house and I feel
well,
safe.
Well, I feel good about my call out in that because I have worked with you for you and also given you money. So I don't feel bad. And I'll.
How long has it been? It's been like, I feel like it's been, has it been like 9 years?
Since SourceFed?
Have we've all been
yeah,
working
about
together?
8 years now.
Yeah.
Yep, 9 years.
Yeah. Holy shit, man.
We're going on it.
We all look so different.
In January, it will be 9 years.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I have this very vivid memory. It was like maybe my second day, and there was like a hallway. Not to like jump into SourceFed, we don't even have to talk about that. But it just like when I think of Elliot, I remember being like this young 20-year-old. I think I was 20. That would make sense. 2021, and Elliot was just like in the hallway practicing his script for his. I think maybe his first white wall, like first official, and everything felt like so. Professional to me because I just like I was making YouTube videos at my house. I had never worked for a company. The only other job I ever had was working at a library when I was like 15.
That's cool.
So this And then just like walking into this room, and there's like, you guys remember the White Wall room? There's like fucking 50 lights in there, and it felt so like, I don't know, just like professional. And yeah, it's like a very, it's just very
the
vivid.
White Wall room was a professional oasis in that building. Like, that was the one room that was like, okay, we're doing this right. We got the lights set up. Yeah. We got the soundproofing on the wall. We got two cameras.
One thing I have noticed, though, from then to now and working at other companies, the rest of SourceFed wasn't shit. Like, it was, we barely had furniture. Everything was either hand-me-down from Phil's house or, like, shitty IKEA stuff. Nothing else was organized, I think, for, like, the first 3 years.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I don't
Figuring
even know if we
out.
Had water.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
what kind of furniture
just...
can you buy with $1.something million from Google? Like, you can't. Like, you got,
I mean, yeah, that's
so
a lot
maybe
of money,
it gets
you
an IKEA chair.
Yeah, it was, but for me as a 20-year-old, man, that was, I had a blast in that,
yeah,
in that building.
It was electric,
it was formative.
Yeah,
yeah,
we were all kids. It was a summer camp, it was a wonderful boot camp, summer camp, you know, thing that didn't traumatize anybody in the long run.
Wait, how old were you guys, in 2012?
I was 20. Five, maybe, something.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, I was 29 when I started there.
Joe was 42, yeah. That's very good.
That's
so when
funny.
You guys, around the time you left, you were like 30-ish?
33, I think.
I left in 2 years. I left real quick. Joe was
I was 32,
long.
33. Yeah, I was there for about 3 years.
Wow. Yeah.
I always think about that map somebody made that has like, somebody made like a bar graph of everybody's like tenure. And I was like, that's really, it's very visually pleasing when you look at it, but shows every host, like their start date and then a line and then their end date. And it's this really, and when you think about all the people that were at SourceFed, it's a, mm-hmm. it's a pretty significant little graph. It reminds me of that Reddit.
It's a weird,
data. It's beautiful Reddit.
It's a weird, it's, there's like time warping, I think, that happens in our brains because it was like, I think formative is a good word that you used, Elliot, but it was new, it was electric, it was successful. It was a roller coaster, and because it was all those things, a lot of the timelines seem like they were way longer than what they really were. Like, in our mm-hmm. minds, it was like, oh, Elliot, Lee, and Joe were the hosts by themselves for a year. It was like a month or two, and then Steve showed up. Like, it was that quick. Same with a lot of the other ones. And, like, Meg, on that bar graph, Meg's there, what? Very, very mm-hmm. little. Like, but it felt like we were all there forever. So interesting time perspective, matrix simulation, nostalgic
yep.
look back.
Well, totally.
I'll answer your question, but before, because I don't want to lose the thought, I wanted to ask, is Valley Folk, does it feel anything similar to what those days felt like as far as like working at, I mean, now you guys are in a, we're in a pandemic, so you're not in the office, but when you were, like, as far as like the team goes, does it feel like that?
No, not at all.
Oh, really?
It's always, for me, felt, I'd say, better.
Oh, okay.
But it's also, I think a lot of that is just, I think all of us to a degree, but I just feel like I don't remember a ton of it because it's, like, same. Blocked out, but I was a different person, and so it's hard to, like, compare because I feel like a different human in the mix regardless. But there have been moments, I think, here where it definitely feels like that. But the emphasis of us doing, like, sketch and then, like, us doing... the, you know, trying to make something work is a very cool element to this thing that adds, like, the stakes are higher here in a weird way, even though we have a smaller audience, which is pretty cool. It's a nice thing. I mean, I feel like back then it was a lot of ego for me, a lot of ego and a lot of like hyper paranoia that it's like, there's some perfect hierarchy that you go on in the industry or the entertainment industry. There's some like ascent that has to happen. And so I think that tainted a lot of my experiences because I was so hyper concerned with all that stuff. And now I'm just like still concerned with that stuff, but not, I don't think to the degree I was.
The bigger,
which is very nice,
difference that I see is that SourceFed, we didn't have the stakes and the pressure necessarily on our shoulders. We were the hosts and we were creating stuff and, but the business wasn't ours. So it was a playground,
right?
It was a playground and you can have gripes within that or if you want, but I do feel like it was a little bit more like fancy free and, cause you didn't have to worry about a lot of the stuff and that we're talking about perspective now. And then we're over here with the Valley Folk and now it's the business and the stakes and the pressure are there. And when I was on, Phil's podcast, we talked about that. We talked about how, you know, he could, you know, we would have whatever gripes that we would have, but we weren't seeing Phil's side of it necessarily all the time.
Right, right.
You know, because Phil was dealing with the stakes and the pressure and
the money, the management,
the money and the
cetera.
Management, and for better or for worse, that's just a different that's a different path that you're taking, even when you're whether or not you're doing the creative. And now we're on the other side of that, and the perspective is there of like, oh, this is the stuff you have to worry about while also worrying about making funny shit. Which,
and he was 27. Well, like, he was like so young.
He was young as hell.
And I think
who was 27?
Something like that. Yeah, I mean,
Phil?
He's still.
Oh,
yeah.
Phil.
Yeah, yeah. Phil.
God, yeah,
and
that's
so
insane.
It's like there was not a lot of perspective, I think, about how just like he was also a very young person navigating a situation that was so new and so unique, and his reputation, regardless of the fact that it was our faces on it, was at stake.
Yep.
And that's a whole, that's just a whole mental thing that's really difficult, I think, to wrap your head around, especially when you're in it with him.
Well, it's wonder if you guys relate, because like I feel like when I was there, just like more in my later years, when I feel like you both were already gone, but like just being like a producer and trying to create and help the channel succeed, but really only focused on the creative, it was really easy for me to kind of like take risk and, and just do things that I thought were best for the channel. And then when I left that job and where I'm at now and just working on my own personal things, even though I still like do freelance, it's harder for me to take those same risks for my own things. I don't know if you relate to that, because it feels so personal. I'm like, well, I couldn't do that because whatever excuse. But when it was back at SourceFed or Smosh or wherever, it's like, well, at the end of the day, it's not me and it's not my face. So like, let's just fucking take a chance and who knows what will happen.
So there's a give and take with everything when it comes to like your career and your professional path, right? And it's so easy to lose perspective and again find pockets of resentment or things to unhappiness pits.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about is a job like SourceFed or jobs like it. You go into it, and if you have just this playground, it can be so freeing. And the ability to not, and this I'm saying this in a positive way, the ability to not care is the gift of that. It's like I don't give a shit if it fails. It's like I'm getting paid to try stuff, and you do it, and it can make you a little bit bolder, especially if you don't feel like your job's being held over your head. And that's great. But then the pockets of resentment can soon formulate, and I've seen it in so many companies where it's like you go from, I got job, this is great, this is good, but then you're like, but I don't own this. And then that starts to seep into your brain, and you're like, well, what am I doing if I do blah, blah, blah? And that can change your perspective and warp where your heart is in regards to that. And then you go out on your own, and it is scary because it is your voice. It is your efforts, and your failure is your failure. And some people are really good at that and can handle it and can take the risk. Elliot's great at it. Elliot has made stand-up specials. Elliot's gotten on stage, and there's nothing...
Oh. I'm reckless as hell.
Yeah, there's nothing like more what you're
I have
talking
a clinical
about.
Problem of not giving a shit.
but it's a superpower too, because you've created so much on your own and stepped out on so many ledges, and that's a very hard thing. And I've always equated that with stand up versus improv. Like when I do improv, I have no real fear other than like the anxiety before I get on stage, because I'm like, at the end of the day, this is make 'em ups. It's not really my voice. I'm just having fun. I've always
make 'em
been
ups. I like that. Yeah. That's fun.
But I've never done stand up because it fucking terrifies me, because I know that it actually is my voice, and I'm afraid of the pain if it doesn't resonate, if it's not funny, and if it doesn't meet the expectations that I have. It's the same reason I probably haven't wrote my fucking poetry book yet. Like,
I didn't know you were writing a poetry
book. I'm not!
You would do great. I mean, you post them to Instagram. What's the difference?
I don't know. The stakes, I guess. It's a lot easier to,
weird.
To feel
fear.
Like... Yeah, fear.
It's fear.
Is it money? Is it money?
Oh, if somebody gave me money to write it, deadlines are great.
But what I'm saying, like the fact that you can just you can post it to Instagram and not have a fear. Well, I don't know if you don't feel fear, but you're obviously doing it, so it's not paralyzing you. The difference of putting it in a, let's say, a book is like, well, what if no one buys it? Is that the fear that's like,
yeah, huh. I don't know.
Well, Elliot doesn't have it, so I mean,
oh, I have it.
I mean, I'm not, all right, you don't see me writing a poetry book.
But you're putting out stand-up specials, like, that's scary to do.
I don't know what was in my head when I was doing that. I don't know about you, I ain't putting out any stand-up specials soon. No, thank
you. Are you not there anymore?
I mean, I'm there in the sense of, like, I want to, you know, we all have, I think, a little artist bug in us that we can talk about more, but, like, that thing of you get most excited about where you're currently at. I'm proud of myself for doing two of them. I'm proud of what I was going for in both of them. Mm. I like the second one, and I like how raw and weird it is. But holy shit, no, if I wouldn't do it, I'm not, I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't be like, yeah, I'm going to talk about my destroyed marriage, and put it out for the world to see. That's crazy. But, I mean, yeah, I like having done it.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I'm proud. I am happy that I pushed it over both those over the goal line a little bit, but, I think you know how it is. It's like you don't want to be known for anything that you did 3-4 years ago, because you're like, nah, this is, I'm sure with music, I imagine you don't go back and listen and pine over your first songs. I imagine you're like, your current one is whatever you're working on right now in this moment is probably the one that you're like, this is the thing. So
right.
That's where, I guess, the point I'm trying to roundabout make.
Yeah, I actually listened to my older stuff for the first time in a long time recently. And one, not only do I not even know who that person is, like, I don't, like, the things I was talking about, I was really just, like, trying to be a rapper, I guess, because I was saying some vulgar shit that I just was not experiencing in real life. So, like, listening back as an almost 30-year-old...
Rolling down the streets in Compton. Like, my name is Darren, and I'm over here in Compton. It's 1990. I'm living up in Compton.
Put that, write that down, Joe. That's going in the poetry book.
That's going into the fucking book. Side note, did you see the Watsky thing that he posted?
Yeah, I love him. He's
like
the best.
2 days ago?
He's the best.
That was so good.
He's the best.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't listen to my old stuff, because, like you said, Elliot, I always feel like the most recent thing, if I like it, is my favorite thing that I've
ever
made.
That's the best perspective.
Until I make. Is it, though? Is it healthy? Because then I look at even stuff I made 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, and I'm like, it's all trash. It's all garbage.
Well,
and
that's not healthy. But knowing that you're invested in the thing that you're doing now, and that's the thing that excites you, and that's the thing where your creative inspiration's going, I can't think of anything healthier than that.
I don't think you
that's
can
true.
Escape it.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of, I don't know if you can get out of that mentality to be like, oh, I have to, I don't know. I don't know if it's your job. This is getting real ethereal and probably masturbatory, but I don't know if it's a good thing to go back, like Joe's saying, and like pine over your past. It reminds me of like the Better Call Saul thing where he's like watching his old commercial at the beginning of the series. It's like something about that always kind of bums me out. It's Bo Burnham has talked about this, where he's like you stay focused on your thing that you're doing, and you're kind of, I don't know how you could possibly change that. I don't know how you could break out of that mentality, or if you should. Like, how do you convince yourself that your old stuff is the best? Because what does that do to you as a person? if I was like, guys, I did Premature, where I talked about being a crazy husband, and I was like, that was the best. Then I'd be like, I don't know. Maybe Elliot's depressed is what I would think.
Well, I mean, it leaves no room for growth, but I think that you should also be able to look at it and go, yeah, at the time, that was my best.
Yeah, that's the healthier version.
I struggle with that.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that. That's hard.
And you couldn't be excited about the thing you're working on now had you not done the thing that you did. So it's like you still had to do it regardless.
That's true.
I'm going to contend in the moment as somebody that struggles with what he's about to say. I do believe hating yourself in the past, like retroactively hating yourself, is way better than hating yourself now. And if you're excited about the you and the thing that you're creating in the moment, that's great. If you look back and you're like, ugh, I don't like that. Okay, fine. You learned from it. You enjoyed it while you did it. And it's about the journey anyways. So you're just creating the building blocks to your next level of excitement. And I like where your brain is at.
Dude, I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this last year has been like your year. Like, you finally are. Let's talk about hearing your shit on the radio for the first time. Let's talk about your, like, again, your TikTok renaissance. I feel like your creativity is at an all-time high, and your you're swimming in it. It's great.
Thanks, man.
You're swimming in pussy. That's what he meant to say. You're swimming in pussy.
That's his new song title.
Joe's new poem.
Old me would have fucking ate that shit up. Swimming in pussy, swimming
in Compton. I'm swimming in pussy. It's 1990, and I'm also in Compton. I'm drowning in it.
Blink 182.
I feel really good. You said it feels like that it's my year. It feels like the year before your year. So I'm hoping that next, even though I say this every year, I hope that next year is the year where like everything kind of comes together. But right now it's kind of like I've waited 10 years for this moment. Yeah, man, it's like the first time I've ever had like conversations with major labels, like with management, with, you know, like seeing my music, you know, no shade at all to the SourceFed audience. In fact, they're the reason why I'm here and like have helped me like be able to quit a career job and, you know, walk away from good money at the time. Not even at the time, better than what I make now. So it's like, SourceFed audience has held all of us down, and I appreciate that. But with the whole TikTok stuff, it's the first time that I've seen my music resonate with people who have no idea who I am.
Oh, what a feeling.
And that's so interesting because, you know, when you like someone, when you're showing one of your friends some of your work, they already have all these biases. They already like you as a person, hopefully. You know, so it kind of lessens the blow. Like when you talk to anyone about a major label artist – and they come out with an album, if it's not perfection, everyone shits on it. And it's like, wow, the standards are just so high.
Yeah, we're all like, so I've kind of always Taylor been, Swift, boring album, all right?
Yeah.
It was.
You weren't vulnerable enough.
It was a boring album.
Aren't you a huge fan? Aren't you a huge fan of Taylor Swift, Elliot?
Yeah.
You didn't like the one? This new one?
Folklore didn't grab me. I mean, I'm just I like the poppy, like sugary, like happy, but some of the songs on there
Bon Iver jam's pretty good. I like that one.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, there's a couple on there like
He's great.
Paper Rings I like and Lover. That was all her
Lover.
Other album, Lover.
Lover.
The song Lover is beautiful.
That's a great
the
song.
The Shawn Mendes version is beautiful.
I like the song I'll Be the Man or The Man or
You
like
that
like
one?
That?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan, but I like the music video.
It's a bop. It's a bop.
Maybe I need to give it another chance. That was Lover too, chance. I think. The new one was
Let It Come to You.
Cardigan.
Yeah, the new one is like more like indie or something. I'm getting a message on Zoom. Is this?
Yeah,
is this...
Joe just up. Joe sees how hot this conversation is, and he just upgraded our Zoom meeting to unlimited minutes, folks.
You guys got that buckle big boy
up.
Money.
That scared me. That's never happened to me before. Well.
Are we good?
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, it's all great. I don't even know if I'm like prepared or anything. Like I have a couple calls this week that half of me is like, all right, you gotta pretend or not pretend, but like click into this place that like you know exactly what you're doing and exactly what you want. And then there's the other part of me that's like, well, I don't fucking know what I want. Like, what am I supposed to say to a label about the things that I need when I'm too close to it. I don't know what I need. You know what I mean? All I know is what I've been doing for 10 years and has slowly proven itself to work. Slowly being the key word. I don't know what to look for in a manager. I don't know what to look for in a label or, you know, so these conversations are scary.
Yeah. That whole thing of having to turn it on and be like, you got like charm. It's an audition. Like it's an audition that you also have to be wary of the pitfalls and the stuff, all the horror stories. Dude, the idea of a music management or record label deal is such a fascinating thing to me. Cause first of all, it's super like symbolic for, I think any musician, I would imagine besides massive success, I imagine it's one of the biggest accomplishments you can make, period. But because of that, it's like so just filled with so much there's so much at stake with it. I don't know how anyone is able to really navigate without just being like, yeah, it may not be a perfect deal. It may be too good of a deal and they don't, you know, nothing. It's like there's a million ways it could go wrong, but you seem to have a very clear direction and good compass inside you. So I imagine you'll be. Do you know who Oliver Tree is?
Yeah, he's great. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
Did
I
you
saw
listen
him live?
You saw him live?
Yeah, like a year and a half ago.
I bet that was madness.
Dude,
he was the opening act to the headliner. And it's the first time that I've been to a concert where the opening act fucking crushed it so bad that the headliner couldn't even follow it. Like, whoa. The crowd was dead for the headliner. And he came out on a scooter. Like, yo, it was wild.
He's pure, like, star. Like, he was, like, made in a lab of, like Gen Z stardom. And his music, I love it. It's all, like, stuff that just... I figured you knew who he was because it seems like the kind of stuff that's up your alley because it's good music and also, like, with a sense of humor and all that. It's very cool. But he had a whole thing about his record label and how that, like, Atlantic kind of screwed him over on a bunch of the things that he wanted to do. But it's also one of those things where it's like he's blowing up. So how bad can you feel for that kind of thing? Because you're like, all right, you're still getting the success. But I'm sure he's kicking himself just like everybody else.
I think I watched Oliver Tree's hard because you're not sure what's a bit.
Uh-huh.
You're not sure. Like, he just leans into it so hard. But I saw him, maybe it was the same interview or same video that we watched, but he was talking about, like, his music video is costing like $1 million and, like, yeah, it got 10 million views, but, like, he's competing with the artists on the same level, on the same label that get 50 million views in the blink of an eye, you know? So he was like, yeah, from the outside in, it looks great and it looks like I'm doing well. But when you're comparing it to the people on the same roster, I look like a chump. And it's like, damn, it sucks that you get to a point as an artist. I don't know how long he's been doing it. I'd imagine a long time. You get to a point where you're getting 10 million views on a video. You get to a point where your budget is $1 million, if that's in fact true. I don't know if that is. You get to that point and you can't even celebrate because then you go, well, everyone above me, Bruno Mars, is getting 100 million views. And it's like, fuck, man. That's why when I sit down and I'm like preparing to have a conversation with a major label, if I end up going that route, it's just like, I don't even know if I want that route.
Well,
you know?
Go ahead. Well, let's get back to that. I want to come back to that because on the note of appeasing everyone that you work for, here's the ad portion of the podcast.
Hey guys, it's me, Elliot. I'm here with the ad portion of the podcast, and then we're going to get right back to this really fun conversation with Darren Gerdner, who I love very much, and this song that he's talking about is so, so good. But that's beside the point, guys. I'm here to tell you about a particular sponsor that has kept me alive for basically the entirety of quarantine, and that is HelloFresh. We have them as a sponsor now, which is really cool. So I got to talk to Joe about how wonderful this company is because they're truly the best. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make with single steps and pictures to guide you along the way. It's true, they come in little cards. It's wonderful. HelloFresh cuts out the stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or even less. That time frame is 100% true. Y'all, I've had HelloFresh probably... it's probably made up 40% of what I've eaten for a while. I won't go into why, but it doesn't take a lot to figure it out. And truly, it's so good and so wonderful. So this is actually I'm actually really excited about this particular company. HelloFresh gourmet recipes like their balsamic fig sirloin are 50% cheaper than an average meal out, so you can enjoy a restaurant quality dinner for less. That's very good. They're super nutritious. And also HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients, so you're not overbuying. It also makes it easier to cook, and it makes you feel like you're a little chef doing your own little cooking show. It's wonderful. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content, so it's not too bad for the environment. It comes in a box. They keep everything frozen. You throw it in the freezer. When you're ready to cook it, you pop it out. Half an hour, you get yourself a meal. And HelloFresh is committed to making fresh, delicious food available now more than ever, and it's taken extra steps to keep employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. HelloFresh donates over 2.5 million meals to charity in 2019, and this year they're stepping up food donations to local communities amid the coronavirus crisis. So they're just good. They're good all around. It's wonderful. I think I hit three of them. I think they offer so many delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe and try new things. That's true too. You can try different types of food, and they're all delicious. They're all for people who like good tasting food. At least from what I've experienced. You know, some people are like, this is actually, it's wonderful. So anyway, I can stop talking now because now it's just getting too long. So anyway, Go to HelloFresh.com/ValleyCast80 and use ValleyCast80 to get a total of $80 off across 5 boxes, including free shipping on your first box. Go to HelloFresh.com/ValleyCast80 and use ValleyCast80, the code, to get a total of $80 off across 5 boxes, including free shipping on your first box. It sounds like a riddle, but it's actually a real good deal. So give it a try if you can. And now we're going to talk about another ad. But hey, if we're going to talk about saving money, we might as well talk about saving money in other areas as well, and that's where Honey comes in. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do, and that's where today's sponsor, Honey, comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically texts them when you're checking out. If you haven't done Honey yet, you really should. It saved me personally and professionally more money than I can possibly count. It works 90% of the time. Remember back in the day when you had to find the codes manually? That was crazy. Anyway, here's how it works. You get Honey on your computer for free and 2 easy clicks. Then, when you're checking out one of over 300,000 supported sites, Honey pops up, and all you do is you click apply coupons, and then it runs through them. And you wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons. And if Honey finds the working codes, it'll apply the best one to your cart automatically. So you don't have to do any thinking. You don't have to try certain ones. And it's all free. It's wonderful. So anyway, Honey has found it's over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Honey supports all kinds of retailers, from tech and gaming sites to fashion brands, even food delivery. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/ValleyCast. That's joinhoney.com/ValleyCast. joinhoney.com/ValleyCast so they know that we sent you and we can keep doing this and you can save money and everybody wins. I mean, it seems to be working so far, so we should just probably do it. Last but not least is a sponsor named MeUndies. I don't know, have you guys ever heard of these guys? I know, man, I'm wearing them right now and they're comfortable and they make me feel supported both emotionally and physically, but that's beside the point. MeUndies believes that comfort is about more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. Keyword, yours, not somebody else's. This isn't a Michael Myers movie, but it's almost Halloween, which means you can now match your undies to the spookiest season of all time. MeUndies just launched 3 new Halloween prints, so whether you're into cats, blood, or skeletons, they've got something right up your haunted alley. If you're into cats or blood, do you have anything for people who are into blood? You guys know MeUndies. You guys know I'm wearing them. You guys know you're probably wearing them. If you're not, they're wonderful. I officially have no other underwear besides MeUndies. And they just still fit so snug and so nice. And they make me feel like when I'm wearing them that I'm cooler than I actually am. Their undies grow on trees. Seriously, they're made from irresistibly soft natural fibers sourced from beechwood trees. And you know what natural fibers means? That their micromodal is not only super soft, but breathable, light, and impossibly cozy. That's some serious comfort. Everything MeUndies does, it does to help you feel truly comfortable from head to toe, from outside to in. They even have onesies that I use sometimes when I'm I use a lot. Never run out of undies with the MeUndies membership, a subscription that sends new pairs right to your door, because who really wants to grab that questionable 6-pack of underwear at your local drugstore? Plus, get site-wide savings and exclusive sales. That's very true too. Once you figure out what works for you, they just keep sending it to you. It's a little gift and it makes you feel very special. So get 15% off, okay, and free shipping. All you want to do is go to MeUndies.com/Valley. That's MeUndies.com/Valley in order to get 15% off and free shipping for first-time purchasers and listeners of the Valley Cast. And I think we can all agree that we're your favorite, so this is definitely the code you should use. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. Probably never happens, would be my guess. These have been ads.
Wow. See, that's why you're a professional.
Dude, this is all
that's
on why you. We're professional. I don't even have them up.
No, I'll do them later. Right, that's how professional in. I am. We're back.
Okay, so and good. We're back. That's so I want to, a point that I'd want to make, I want to touch on about what you're talking about there, is that I think you have a healthy hesitation right now, because what mm-hmm. you're talking about is, can you, are you, not just you, but you, the universal you, anybody that does this, are you able to still be the best creative that you can be while you're navigating the fact that you are officially turning your art into business and you're turning your art into a money generator? And I think some of the best artists are the ones that are able to navigate them both, still feel like they're 100% sticking just to the the music, sticking to the creation, and hopefully they're in a setup, a label contract, a management team that's just letting them do that and not telling them how to do it, and it's up to them to sell it. And I think a lot of people get lost in the minutia between those two things, the osmosis of how they just like freaking leak into one another. And it's about, do you think you can focus on, if it's the creation and the music and the connection to the audience that truly makes you happy, are you going to be able to continue to do that when you bring more people into the fold?
Shit, how do I ever know until I do it? And then I'm either happy or not happy. It's like, because like, let's say I'm trying to like, you know, because I don't have a lot of my friends are more actors or comedians or YouTubers. You know, I have people in the music friend. I know it's fucking
yuck.
I have people in the music industry, but not as many, you know? So I like relate it to my friends, to your guys' stories. Things that you've shared with me, the auditions and stuff you've been on, and the shows that you've gotten or almost got, like those also at the end of the day, it's not like, like let's say Joe, you get a show, even if it's called the Joe Beretta show, it's still, there's still like this layer of like, well, this is NBC and it's like there's 1,000 people working on this show, you know, hyperbole. It's not like Joe Beretta. Like the difference with my music is like it's so just me, and if I sign something that's terrible and I'm stuck in it for years, it's like, I don't know, it just feels
You got it. You got it. Stop.
I'm just scared.
You got it, and you're going to get a deal, and it may not be the perfect deal, and it doesn't matter, because even if it's not, you will ascend beyond it, and because you're going to be you the entire time.
Yep.
You got it.
That's very kind of you.
It's literally
true. I'm not blowing smoke up your butt. I genuinely think that like it's one of those things that you put in your, as a mental block in your head, but it's like you're making as much money as you're making right now, and you're making the best music you've ever made. And on top of that, you're financially having to worry about making ends meet, making sure that you're not like going to get evicted, some crazy, there's a pandemic going on, and you're still doing the best you've ever done. So if you get any kind of deal, any kind of legitimacy or anything like that, all it's going to do for at least a time is give you enough security. Imagine what kind of music you're going to make then, when you have the comfort of knowing you've already made it that far. You've already gotten that you've hit that marker in the Mario Kart thing. You know, where you hit it when it goes cha-ching and it goes 2 out of 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Laps.
Yeah.
I was literally just about to say, you need your Elliot Morgan on your shoulder, because the way you were just talking is the way that I'll tend to talk when it comes to like deals and trying to make business happen. And I'm a very hesitant.
Oh, Elliot's
and
the
I'm
hype
very
guy?
Very cynical. And Elliot's like, fuck it, we got it. Let's do it.
Eff it.
We got it.
Chris, let's do it.
Yep. That's the difference.
Where did you find that, Elliot? Is that always just been you?
No.
Or is that the recklessness we've spoke about?
I don't know what it is. It's part recklessness. You know what it is, too? I think people, certain people out of the SourceFed group, the present company included, I just believe in our abilities very much for whatever reason. And so I tend to think, and you know, there's no excuse. We have audiences that support us. We have everyone, at least in this podcast, I think, and others, of course, good hearts, like smart brains. Like, I think all the pieces are there. So I try not to get too bogged down. But the hang up of that is I can shoot from the hip a little bit sometimes, and then that could be bad. Too, but I also think that, like, how old are you, Darren? 28.
I'm turning 30 on Wednesday.
Ooh, happy birthday!
Thank you.
Wait, so it's a big is it one. Celebratory or is it like 30?
No, it's for sure. No, I'm
hell
happy.
Yeah. The
only thing that's like holding me up is like this is literally the last week of my 20s, and that is weird to like kind of grasp and think about. But other than that, no. Like I've been waiting to turn 30 my whole life. I can't
are any of these
that.
Calls that you have, are they on your birthday?
Oh shit! I didn't even think about that. No,
it's my birthday.
The day
give
before
me a
my birthday.
Deal.
The day before. Yeah.
Okay.
The
Why day
do you
before
ask?
Your birthday. Okay, I just thought it'd be cool.
Is that good luck?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, if you're,
I'm not.
Be whatever you want.
Day before your. Yeah, I mean, day before your birthday is still pretty cool, because if it goes well, you're gonna be rolling into your 30s like.
Oh
feeling
shit!
Good.
I mean, yeah, that's actually a good way to think about it. I didn't even put two and two together that it's also my birthday, but I also have these calls next week. It's just like, here's the thing. It's like you guys have not only are you a team, but you have people outside of your team. I'm sure you have like contacts to lawyers and shit. this is just me. I'm doing everything guessing.
How fun. You know what that feels like? How exciting.
You know what that feels like? Yeah, dude. That doesn't feel good.
Oh, no, it does. It does? Yeah, dude, you're moving. Like, it's just, it's chaos, but chaos leads to explosions in life and the universe.
That's
like,
true.
You're just, it's, you're in the calm before the storm. You're nervous. It's going to be fun. And at the end of the day, you're going to, like, whether it works out the perfect way or the not so perfect way, you're going to keep creating music and you're still going to be in your, like, personal creative renaissance, and you're going to take that energy, good or bad, and you're going to turn it into great art.
And here's a thought, and this might be a dumb idea, but say you I'm very excited. We're very excited for you. I think if you can't,
that's
tell.
Very nice. You guys have always been supportive, and
don't ever at me on Instagram.
Well, we're
like
monsters.
That again.
And next time, tag me. if this meeting gets complicated and you feel overwhelmed and like you need a lawyer, you just go down to your local Chase or your Bank of America and you take out a tiny little loan that you can pay back over the next year for about $5,000. And then you get a lawyer to look over your contract and you pay them whatever they're paying. Maybe they'll take 5% of the deal or maybe not. I don't know. You work it out with them. You take a consultation and then you let a professional handle it so that you can again give yourself more mental structure, more mental safety, so you can keep being a great artist.
Wow, you're so sturdy. You're so, you got like a really strong foundation here.
Just take out debt, Darren.
Wow.
Bury yourself in financial woes.
Darren, just, but I do think like there's ways around the not having a lawyer thing, because I do believe in that kind of stuff too, where it's like, yeah, get someone with a degree to read
look
the
at
legalese.
It.
Yeah.
And you're so smart too, so if you feel that way,
that's very sweet
you're
of
very
you.
Smart. You're very smart. Let's be
I'm
honest.
I'm not a lawyer. That's very sweet of you. And I am very
I didn't
smart.
Say
it
lawyer,
again.
But you are a very intelligent man.
Thank you. It's
and
very
sweet. Yeah, so if it, I'll get a lawyer.
I love you.
Really? Like having this conversation. I love you too. Don't interrupt me.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Literally having this conversation.
I just got
you
your
guys.
Eyes.
It's the curls.
It's beautiful.
You know what this makes me feel like? This makes me feel like, going back to SourceFed, I'm 21 and I don't even know how to edit, but I'm now your guys' editor and you guys are still like, nah, you got this, you're good. And you guys have just been cheering for me for 9 years, I think we decided was the number. And I fucking appreciate that. Thank you very much. I always got your back too. You know, I'm always over here hoping the best for you guys. Joe and I, you know, we talk quite a bit. Elliot, we don't talk as much, but every time we do, it's lovely.
On blast on the podcast, on blast.
Yeah, on but blast. You know, fuck Steve, but you guys are great. Great people for sure.
Thank you. I feel like the year that you've had has kind of led to this moment for you, but specifically, and we can play this track underneath while we talk about it. Will you talk about the you're right, you're wrong, and how cool that little journey was?
Yeah, so that was kind of I released a song and it was called I'm Right, You're Wrong. I put it up on TikTok after having like a long conversation with my dad, you know, about Black Lives Matter, about everything that was going on and is still going on. And, you know, he has opinions and said things that I think that are very ignorant. So, you know, we had a very long conversation, not to get too far into it. And
hey, Darren. Can I cut you off here? First of all, I love you.
Please.
Second of all, you cut off your audio just in the computer, cut off. And so this is sort of like the beginning of the podcast, but it cut back to you being like, I don't want to get too into it. And I was like, this sounds good. So could you just say it again for me, even though our listeners definitely heard it? Can you
is that a Wi-Fi thing?
No, you're fine.
Or did
it's a Zoom.
It was just a Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah.
It's literally said your internet connection.
See if I can get back in.
Sorry. I was like, I got it.
You're fine. Long story short, I don't know what the audio heard, but I said I wrote a song, I'm Right and Wrong, had a conversation with my dad about Black Lives Matter. I felt that he was being very ignorant. It inspired me to get off the phone and like write a song just because that's like I felt was the moment. I felt inspired. Not even really inspired. I felt sad and that made me want to write. And
maybe pissed.
Yeah, long story short, I put this song out and I woke up. And mind you, like I had like maybe 3,000 TikTok followers. I put this song out, went to sleep, and woke up, and it had like 50,000 views. And I was like, "Whoa, that's crazy. That's never happened in my life." And then the next day it kind of like petered off, and I was like, wow, that was like,
well, that was fun, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And then that the sadness kicked in that we all feel like when you see a video kind of going viral, but then it peters
that's
off.
That's the dopamine fall.
Yeah. We don't talk about it enough. It's a real thing, sure. And it sucks.
Mm-hmm. I just do what I do. I don't care about the views. I mean, they're closely tied to my internal happiness, but I don't really care about them.
It doesn't get me down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then it petered off. The fun thing about TikTok that I'm learning, it's not like YouTube. YouTube, if you don't go viral pretty much instantly, or, you know, within like 24 hours, your chances are kind of slim. With TikTok, I don't know what happened, but I was watching a documentary, and I looked at my phone, and within 10 minutes, it got like 250,000 views. I don't know how the fuck that happened. Somebody blessed me at TikTok. So that song kind of went crazy. And that was the start of like all this craziness that's happening, you know, the conversations with the label. Well, like, I'm guessing they all saw it on TikTok and they instantly like,
and when you go
me,
big on TikTok, what people don't realize, I don't know if you've heard my jam, dog stick audio.
I missed that one, I think.
You've seen it.
One of the rewarding things, and it's also kind of weird, is that people start taking that sound, they took your song, and they'll start making their own videos, and it becomes this
monster
that just grows and keeps adding to itself. So you got like thousands and thousands of people using your song to make their points and express their opinions, and it's just awesome. And that's kind of what happened with that song, right?
Yeah, so it didn't go super, super viral. Like some things on TikTok just go insane and it kind of takes on a life of its own. This had an impact though, and it was wild. Like so many people, if you go to the sound and you look at like some of the videos that people are making, like there's hundreds of people who had pretty much the exact same experience as myself. Like some of them, you can hear the mom or the dad or whoever screaming in the background. And, you know, it just, I feel like so many people, you know, I guess the song must have struck a nerve because so many people at that time, even maybe now, just really resonated with that because, you know, there are a lot of ignorant people out there, or, you know, just a different generation.
Well, there's also a lot of, you know, it's not exactly a unified world at this moment. So there's a lot of you're right or I'm right, you're wrong going on.
Right. So, man, it was weird. It was definitely a weird time.
It's a lot of it too seems to be people being unable to communicate. So if you're able to like capture that in some kind of a music song, as opposed to a different type of song, it seems like a real, I can understand in some way why I never could have, I don't think any of us could predict like that level of success that happens, especially on stuff like TikTok, at least not now. I'm sure there are people who can, but it's all in retrospect, I can understand maybe how like, you know, your music cuts through a lot of the bullshit, and it sounds like that kind of you're saying struck a nerve. How'd it feel? Were you freaking out? Were you losing your mind? When it was exploding.
For sure it felt really good. Like I won't even lie on that. It felt really good because it was the first time in my career. First time in music that something like that has ever happened. And that was, at first I had to like really like fucking check to see if I wasn't just imagining it. Cause I've never seen thousands of people in the span of a fucking snap, just like wanting the song or loving the song or whatever. So that was really nice. The drop off from it was kind of like a hard thing to, because you
what
have like
I
this
do
feeling
next?
Of like, well, yeah, like how the fuck am I gonna ever top that? Then, you know, that's like the initial feeling, and maybe that still lingers in me, but you know, I realized that it's not, there was just something special about that song, and it resonated and hopefully helped people and made them feel whatever they felt. And I don't have to strive for that every time, you know, like I don't have to fucking
smart
affect thousands and thousands of people with just a song that I'm creating in my home
healthy
studio, my bedroom.
Healthy.
But yeah, and you also listened to the fact that you wanted to write a song in that moment after the conversation with your dad. Like you were smart enough to be like, I'm going to take this and funnel it into something.
Yeah.
And I imagine, next time that type of inspiration rolls around, you'll probably know it.
It's interesting because like normally before TikTok, so before, you know, quarantine, I was making songs or making projects and then working on them for like 6 months and trying to perfect them and rewriting verses and re-recording things and, you know, et cetera. And kind of getting the song, chasing perfection, but really what I'm doing is really what I was doing is watering down my initial idea. And that's just because like a fear of like, oh, it needs to be good. It needs to be complex. It needs to be catchy. You know, all these things that you think about when you're writing songs or you're trying to, you know, make a video or whatever. So when I started making these songs daily and like, all right, I really only have like 3 hours. Let me just like whatever comes out, comes out.
Love it when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
That I realized it's the most honest version of me. Cause like I'm not doctoring it. I'm not overthinking it. You know, now when I think about the song I'm Right, You're Wrong, and I think about that hook, I probably would never write that song now because I've had so much space from that conversation with my dad. I no longer feel like it's just a black and white, like I'm right, he's wrong. I can understand where he comes from. I can understand, you know, how he grew up and his parents and what things they taught him. And he has chose to continue to be ignorant, and that's unfortunate, and that fucking hurts. But I don't think it's as black and white as I'm right, you're wrong. And now I haven't spoke to him since this song dropped, you know, and there was like a BuzzFeed article and like all these things. I'm sure he's seen these things. And that's only pushing him further into his ignorance. And that doesn't feel good. You know, that makes me feel like not only did I like make our relationship worse, but I pushed him in the wrong direction. So it's like, yeah, like so many good things happen, like with the song.
I don't think you're being fair to yourself in that moment. Just throwing that out there now. I don't.
Really?
No. You didn't. That's.
I don't know. I just. I'm so happy it happened. I'm so happy I had that conversation because I needed to get it off my chest.
What would have been the alternative?
Yeah.
Like, would you have just gotten pissed off and not used creative outlets to vent your frustrations? Like, if ever there was a way to vent your side of things, then it seems like you did the healthiest thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and it's all learning experience, right? This is like, I'm always just, now I think about music and being a creative pretty much all day long, but like the reason why I'm always trying to get better is just because like, I want to be the best person I can be. And hopefully, you know, I get better at music and songwriting and basketball and being a friend and a boyfriend and all those things. But like, I like improving as a human. And when I look at that conversation, I can see specific moments where I was like, I was trying to like get a sucker punch in as opposed to leading with compassion, you know? Cause
you were, leading with compassion.
Was
maybe
I though?
Maybe not for him in that moment, but for millions of other people. So don't be so hard on yourself, but you are learning. And you are,
that's true.
You are growing. And the next time you have that conversation, you'll do it with the compassion because you are you're a reflective person and you're thinking about it now. But I would caution like beating yourself up over hard conversations that need to be had within your relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah, true. Totally. Has he reached out?
No. I sent him like, it was like Father's Day, like kind of briefly after this happened. And I sent him like an edible arrangement as kind of like I made a video about it. So like that kind of makes me shitty that I was trying to like capitalize off of it. But like really the intentions were pure and I was trying to like, you know, raise
I'm right,
a white flag.
You're wrong. Have some chocolate strawberries.
all he said was thanks. In a text message, and that's
the
last we spoke.
He's probably a little hurt. Yeah. I can't imagine what it feels like to be a dad and to see your son get the biggest level of success he's ever had as an act of, not defiance, but of disagreement, for sure. But, I mean, you're pretty self-aware. It seems like this is a problem that will definitely resolve over one conversation. But this is also treading into deeply personal territory that if we weren't doing a podcast, I would be more into it. But I don't want to keep forcing this.
What I will say, though,
can relate to it a lot. I'll also say I can relate to it. So I'm not coming at you from a island.
What I will say is that I don't have kids. And Joe,
I don't have kids
either.
You're
the only one here that has kids. Elliot, maybe you do have kids. I don't know. What I will say is I like to imagine that
you don't know if I have kids.
I don't know if you have kids.
Dick. You know what? You better send me an edible arrangement. Okay.
Oh shit! I like how that took you a minute to process. I think like 10 seconds had passed.
Well, because I had to check if I had kids. In my head, I was like, "Did I have said anything?"
I'd like to imagine that if I got in a fight with my kid, and then after that they made a song and it blew up, I would just drop it and be like, "Yo, that's lit! I'm so happy for you! Like, let's celebrate! Let's go to Chili's."
You
something.
Want me to piss you off like, again? Look, man, I'll do whatever you want. Want
right?
me to say something nasty about
saying.
Your mom?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But you know that didn't.
You
happen,
might
so.
If to you might have to be the initiator mm-hmm. slash leader.
I'm tired of that bullshit.
I know.
All right,
it may never end. I'm
God, I'm
that...
turning 30, and yes, I'm grown, but I don't gotta be the father.
I think you do.
Maybe
you might
do.
Have to.
Yep.
God, that's what my mom said. Shit. God damn it. All right, fine. I need a couple months. I'm not ready.
Put him on. We'll bring him on right now. We'll get this.
Your dad's actually here, Dan.
Yeah.
I've got him right here on the phone. We're bringing him in.
I would be so pissed,
Mr. Vaughn.
I would feel so betrayed. Wow. That would be funny though. I would laugh.
It would be funny.
It would be funny.
Was the
sure.
next step of the success of that song hearing it on the radio?
And
what was that like?
No. No. Well, so that was great. And we could talk about that. The next step, and it's low-key shady, but the next step was I had like – Joe, I remember I called you. I had a Grammy-nominated, maybe Grammy Award-winning producer like on the phone with me. And he was like, hey, I want to release this single with you, blah, blah, blah. Love the song. And I was like, oh, my God. Like this man has worked with Kanye West.
It's Kanye West.
I almost said one more artist.
It's Kanye.
But if I said the other artist, people could find out who it was, and I don't want to do that. This man is incredible. So he was like, yo, let's jump on a call today, blah, blah, blah. The intention was to like release the song in like 24 hours. So he was like, we had a quick turnaround. But he was like, I have a couple like ideas that maybe we can make it better. I was like, all right, cool. This man calls me. He's not personable at all. The conversation is actually really awkward. And he essentially tells me that the song is shit, that the beat is just subpar. The only thing good about it is the hook, but he wanted to change everything else. Context, lyrics, everything. And he wanted me to talk about Range Rovers. He wanted me to talk about money. I'm like, did you not even listen to the song? Did you not hear what I was talking about? And I told him, I was like, you know, with all respect, I don't think that this is the song that we change. If you know, I would love to work with something on with you in the future, but this one just means too much to me. So then when I made that into a video, oh man, this makes me sound bad. I made that into a video, not saying his name, not throwing any type of shade, you know, with as much respect as I can. But that's what made the song blow up on Spotify.
Oh, really?
And that was the moment where I was like, wow, this is you know what I've been waiting for years, because I was like, you know, there's an app where you can see your streams on Spotify, just like, you know, with like analytics on YouTube, and just like the numbers, I just had never seen anything like that with my music in such a short amount of time. So that, out of all of it, that was probably the most special, just like kind of reaping the benefits.
Yeah,
of it.
And I want to go back to your use of the term shady. I've never thought of any of the things that you have done as shady. I have seen the content that you've been posting on TikTok, and I would say it's calculatedly honest. Like, I love that you post your happiness when something happens. I like that you're posting about the journey, and I think when you did that with this, you were just posting about the journey and the excitement that you had connected to it. Like you said, you weren't throwing shade and being shitty. You were being a good marketer of yourself. But again, don't hate you.
and that's the intention. And I know that people that know me in real life are going to know that I'm coming from a good place. But, you know, there's always those people who are like,
whoa, military,
you know,
plane.
I have
scary.
Oh, one of the ones with the double thingies that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Where are they going? Because I see them all
there's
the time.
There's a base not far away.
I don't
away.
Know. They're chilling. They're vibing. You know how they are.
I don't like that.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're
it
fine.
Shakes the building when they do it.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, I have friends who are, like, you know, artists as well, and you know, they, the way that they live and see their careers, like they kind of would never take that kind of risk because it jeopardizes the potential of like working with that person, or, and I understand that, and that all makes 100% sense to me. But yeah, just like, I'm just trying to, as I'm going into my 30s, I'm just really trying to live my truth, and I don't need to like suck up to people to like hopefully get in a room, you know, like it's either going to work or it's not going to work. And regardless, I'm having fun. So
I think, yeah. How I look at it. And if the time comes that you need to suck up to somebody, you'll probably know who and when mm-hmm. that person is. Like, I feel like everything you're saying to me sounds like you have these decisions that you've made, regardless of maybe the aftermath of like things being weird with your dad or feeling weird about talking about a conversation with a producer and all that stuff. Like, it's still all being initiated by you listening to what you're head and your mm-hmm. heart is saying in the moment. And so it's like, what would you expect to happen if you're a producer, you reach out to somebody who is an artist, they're going viral on TikTok, they're in the formative years of their success, and why would you even feel, I don't even know why he would be angry about something like that. Like, that's a risk you take. This is it's a new type of era that you're in, where it's like, artists are going to be more transparent. I think you have no reason to feel any weird way about any of the good things that are happening.
Yeah.
Thank you. I ultimately see where he's coming from, because it goes back to what we were talking about with Oliver Tree. It's a million, 2 million, 3 million streams is cool, but I'm looking for 100 million streams. And to get 100 million streams, you kind of have to, you know, sacrifice certain things. You got to talk about,
I'm right, I don't want to say you're wrong, now we're in my Range Rover, money mm-hmm. Range Rover, Compton 1990s, I'm in Compton. That's the song.
Yeah.
I think you should make this song, Joe. I think it's sitting on your heart.
It's the next Stars and Dicks or whatever it was. Dicks and Stars.
Wangs and Stars.
Dude, that did so good. What did that get? Like 2 million fucking Twitter views? That's so good. That's more views than I've ever gotten in anything I've ever made. Something that you made in seconds. That's incredible.
It doesn't scratch
the
surface.
Well, look, I don't want to throw out names or anything and get shady, but this producer reached out and he wanted to change it. Yeah.
Ew, is that what I sound like?
And I was like, nah, this is pure. Wangs and Stars is pure. Okay, all right. We're getting to the point where we usually end, but I want to talk about the radio real quick. Just what that's like, because it's so cool, and I love vicariously being happy when I see you posting videos of you listening to it. And then I want to do a couple patron questions, because they were very excited that we're doing this with you. They love you.
So radio. What are you? You're just asking.
Yeah.
What's
that
like?
There's something magic about the radio still, even though it's like slightly antiquated, and we don't like grow up listening to the radio anymore. Maybe there's Sirius XM, but like hearing your song emanate from a car with somebody being like, "This is Darren. Check it." Yeah, it's got to be like magic.
Well, it's wild because like you can just open up Spotify in your car and it's practically the same thing. The only difference is that you know it's playing through the airwaves mm-hmm. and maybe you might get an intro from a DJ.
Aliens are listening to it.
Yeah, like honestly, who knows how many people were listening? I have no idea. But the DJ part is the coolest part. Just like hearing them kind of give you like some sort of intro.
Yeah.
While they like, I mean, just when I think back to being a kid and like listening to the radio, I don't really remember the songs. I remember the DJ in between the songs. And maybe that's because my uncle was a DJ, so I was always kind of around that. But no, that's the fucking coolest thing ever. That's the coolest shit ever. And like, top five best moment of my life, you know, hearing myself play through my fucking radio, for sure. What I am looking forward to is like, I think now it's like specific radio stations. So like growing up listening to K-Rock, if I heard one of my songs on K-Rock
Kiss
or like
FM.
Power 106,
yeah.
Oh, I'm fucking, oh my God, it's over. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Like no
ooh,
one could tell
whoever's
me
in front of me is getting, ooh, rear-ended.
Ooh.
Honestly, maybe.
So sorry. Ooh,
put your seatbelts on. I'm about to cause some damage.
Times are tight. Ooh, don't got insurance. Ah.
Oh, shit.
Maybe after this,
man,
I can afford a new car. Okay.
Oh, man. I'm never going to watch this episode. I'm never going to watch it.
No. Yeah, us neither.
Nope.
But yeah, man, it was great, and I look forward to it happening. Hopefully again, you know, so fingers crossed. You never know. So
cool. Oh, fun as heck to watch, man. I don't have to worry about all the big decisions you have to make, so it's nice just to watch you ascend and be like, oh, I don't have to. You have to deal with all of the navigating stuff, and we
no
just get
pressure,
to be like,
no stress for
you. Jared's on the right. Yeah, it's very nice.
It is an interesting thing that I honestly, genuinely think about a lot. I think about all of our friends, you guys included, like. About everyone's career and like, where's everyone going to be in 10 years? Mm. I have this thought maybe once a week.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I already love seeing how it's panned out over the past. I mean, it has been almost a decade. It's like, I wouldn't have imagined.
Wow.
Yeah. If we'd have gone back 9 years ago and said what we'd be doing, that we'd still be working together in any capacity, I would be like, this is incredible. And the fact that we still, most of us know each other is very beautiful.
Yeah. I've always said it's exciting watching, you know, we got to be the faces of the thing, but that was just like the forward facing public thing or our public persona. But everybody behind the scenes is what really made it churn. And I love watching that, like you and like Sam, like the people that started like at the bottom rung, just flourish and turn into butterflies, and Reyna, like everybody finding their own voices and doing such cool things outside of it. I think it's so much fun. I love it.
Yep.
I agree.
I love it. All right. Okay. Just a couple here. We talked a lot about music, so I'll only ask the one, but this is good. What Trevor Swanson asks.
Hi, Trevor.
What song is getting stuck in everyone's head lately? Mine is The Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones, which is a great song.
Wait, what song?
The Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
I don't know.
That was a My High School era type jam.
Oh, okay. Okay. An old guy.
What are you guys getting stuck in your head right now?
Not a full song, but just a very specific part of a song is WAP with Cardi B. Just the gobble me, swallow me part. That's it. Just that. Gobble me, swallow me. I can't stop saying it.
I knew like I entered kind of old age, but at least I'm old age with perspective. That song, I listened to it and I literally was like, oh my.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I believe I clutched my pearls.
The kids have gone.
I love it.
Off the deep end.
Yeah.
I've never listened to it.
Read the lyrics and listen to it with headphones on. It's an experience.
They go for it. And it's great because they're just doing what every other male rapper did for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was just like, oh.
I fucking love it.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
I've just been listening to the same. I've been listening to Run the Jewels.
Weezer.
No, just Killers and Run the Jewels right now. Weezer, speaking of management, Weezer has an album coming out. Okay, all right, if you brought it up, here we go. I was hoping nobody would mention Weezer, but since it's on the subject of management and bad management, maybe don't go with a record company that releases a covers album when you're working on a heavy metal album called Van Weezer and then shelf it during a pandemic while other artists are releasing it. And then you have a second album after Van Weezer that's all orchestral that is called Human, and then just shelf both of them and then give you the fans nothing for a year and a half. It's insane to me, all because they're trying to save up so they can do the Hella Mega Tour with Green Day and Fall Out Boy, and it's just bad management across the board.
That would be great.
So that would be go with the album. I'm listening to Talk to Me by Run the Jewels is the album or the song that's stuck in my head.
They're just like,
I've never really listened to them.
Oh my god, Darren.
I'll be honest. I don't even know what genre music it is.
Oh my goodness,
Darren! I'm going to send you a song called "Walking in the Snow."
Oh my goodness!
Okay,
you're going to.
Is it pop?
No, it's rap. It's two dudes.
Oh, it's rap. Mm-hmm.
One guy named Killer Mike, and then another guy named LP.
I know Killer Mike.
Yeah, Killer Mike from Atlanta, LP from New York. Can't be together. Make Run the Jewels. They're the best. They're absolutely the best.
Yeah.
And they're going on tour next year with Rage Against the Machine opening for them.
Whoa, that's incredible!
So I will be there, and I will be there. I don't care how much I'll put myself in a big plastic bubble. I don't care.
Dude, but, Darren, you're going to fall in love, man. They are a voice of the now. It's crazy.
Really? Yeah, I always hear the name.
I'm going to send you this song, Darren, when this is over, listen to it and keep in mind that it was recorded in 2019.
Okay.
Oh, man, you're about to have an experience. I'm excited for you. That'll be great.
Mostly what else have I been listening to?
I've been I've been kind of a theater nerd lately. It's been like Book of Mormon and the Hamilton musical.
So
I've just been listening to that stuff constantly.
I haven't done the Hamilton one, but Book of Mormon is so good.
I need to do it.
Have you seen it?
It's worth a watch on Netflix. It really is. It'll be 100 times better in person, but I think the Netflix? Whatever, whoever.
Disney.
Disney. Maybe? Whoever posted it, I think they did about as good a job as you could do for something that definitely needs to be seen in person.
Yeah. Have you seen Book of Mormon in person?
No.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Music.
It's so fucking good. Yeah.
Hamilton, Book of Mormon, Avenue Q. These are the type of musicals that I've never seen in person, but are the type of, the music is so good and the storytelling within the songs is so good that you can listen to the whole soundtrack and it's like you were there, at least getting the story in person and knowing what the hell's happening. Can't do that with a lot of other musicals.
It's weird. I always enjoy musicals, but I've only seen Book of Mormon and I've only heard, a couple musical albums. So I'm not like all the ones that everyone has seen and sings and know about. My family did not listen to musicals. That was not playing in the house.
Yeah, not mine either. It was definitely.
Really?
Ended up hanging out with some theater folk in college, and they would be like in the corner going, 525,600 minutes. Yeah. And I was like, "What is that? What is that?" And they were like, "Rent." And I was like, "What's Rent?" And then you fall into it from there. God, yeah, I had no clue what musicals were. Prior.
Elliot, you don't feel like a musical guy, is that right? Yeah,
that's why I'm being real quiet. Quiet. Just support.
All right, okay, cool. I think we nailed that one. I think we nailed it.
Hell yeah.
Let me bring.
Shout out Trevor.
Yeah, shout out.
I think it was Trevor.
Treb Dog.
Yeah.
Thanks for the support. We'll do one more. Okay, yeah, Darren. What's your favorite piece, even though this whole podcast is about you moving on from doing work for other people? Don't at me on Instagram ever again. Which is Darren's favorite piece of editing he's done, project he's helped out on that he's proudest of? It's common to look at your own work and just criticize, which we've done today. But it'd be nice to hear the other side of that equation for a change. That's from Shane Austin. Wow.
So what's my favorite piece I've ever worked on as far as like,
I guess that's not
for other
people. Yeah, that's not necessarily yours. You've done so much.
Damn. Yeah. I don't really think about this often. The first thing that pops in my head, and I don't even know if it is the favorite, but it's the first thing. So I'll just go with it. In like 2013, maybe 14, we had a channel called For Human Peoples. Mm-hmm. And we did a video with Steve, where he was breaking into some type of building to steal or make posters or t-shirts.
It was like Mission Impossible style.
It made no sense, but I watched it like maybe last year, and I'm not gonna say it holds up, but it low key kind of holds up, and it's shot well.
Yeah.
So I'm super proud of that one. I think
you guys made
a
little movie. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that
it's
one.
Not the study. That's fine.
Oh shit! I do cherish the times of the study. That was
a different time.
Because that was. Yeah, that was when Elliot left, but, he came back and came back with that character. And, yes, I really only got to see you, what was that, Friday? It was like you came in on Fridays for like an hour. You'd always do it in one take, and then you'd leave. Always so impressive. I don't even know if you used a teleprompter. I feel like you just memorized it because you're wild.
Wilding out.
Yeah,
another thing that
I do that.
Another thing I'm glad is a different era. Different era.
Oh my God!
Best to not even mention it, really, for my own self preservation.
You think it's that bad?
Some of them it's pretty bad.
You had a lot of dark stuff.
We did, and a lot of dark stuff. I was a dark place, and also I was doing it in a way that was making fun of people like that. But that doesn't fly these days.
No.
That's not a very tenable excuse to be like, I was kidding.
We did
not
a joke.
You were going through a divorce, right?
Yeah, I mean it was.
You get a pass.
We did a joke of. Like getting cocaine all over my son when he was a baby.
I trapped. I had. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right.
I peed like something on the. I peed like the word Trump on a brick wall in the. Like made it look like I'd peed the word.
Wow.
I kept somebody as a. I think I kept Steve as a slave in my like mansion, like a sex slave. It's insane. It was just insane times. But that's. clearly not what what you loved. So
times are different.
Times are different.
The
but yeah, that's the first thing that pops in my head. I don't
Darren's
know.
Also the man,
so much.
The music man behind the PB and the J. We worked on that together. We worked on Colin
that
Farrell's shirt together, and I think there's another one that we worked on together.
You did the Nemo one, but I don't know if you released it.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, Darren helps me.
Colin Farrell's shirt. That's got Darren written all over it.
This is Colin Farrell's shirt on my back.
On his back.
And he's never ever gonna get it back.
Get it back.
Cause it's mine and there ain't no takesy backs.
Takesy back.
Cause it's Colin Farrell's shirt on his back.
I said this to Joe, but the Colin Farrell shirt beat, the production that changed my music. My own personal music, that changed the way I make music.
Ah.
From that beat that I made for Joe in 1 hour.
Really? How so?
Yeah. After I made that song, I made a song called Feel the Heat. And if you listen
Good
to
song.
Joe's song and then you listen to Feel the Heat, you'll hear like the similarities.
Oh, cool.
But I would have never went that direction if it wasn't for how the choices that Joe inspired me to take with his song. And yeah, that's all trickled through like my music now. So it's just
you
wild
making
that,
that
like,
beat is the coolest I've ever felt doing live, live comedy. When we were doing the tour and we would do that live, it was like, it just felt so fun to actually feel.
I wish
like
I could have seen
that.
I'll send you a thing.
It's
I have a thing I can send you.
Went over as well as we thought it would in our heads.
Yeah, of course not. No.
But it
felt
cool.
It's so obscure.
Yeah. I mean, it makes no sense. Yeah.
Is that because of like rehearsal or is that because the audience
well,
just didn't get
it?
It's hard
rapping.
To listen.
And it's hard to listen. But we did find a way to make it work because when we first started the tour, I would just like go into it. We'd have some kind of a sketch set up where we'd be like, Joe, that's not your shirt. And I'd be like, yes, it is. And then I'd be like, I'm never giving it back. And the song would start. And that song is such a crowd energized or it needs the crowd to be into it. We need them screaming on his back. So we would do it and they would only catch on like by the last verse, maybe.
Right.
So I started being like, I just threw all of that convention away. And before we would do it, I go, hey, guys, we're going to do a dumb sketch and then a song, but it's really, really important that you say these three things. And then I taught them what to scream before we even got into it.
That's
and
smart.
Then it was a banger. It was great.
Oh, really?
We did have to sit Joe down at one point and go, you need to stop introing it with, here's a piece of shit, stupid thing that you're going to hate. and we're like, hey, Joe.
That's such a Joe thing.
Yeah.
That's
just a stupid, so worthless thing. From my word. Yeah, we're like, don't be nice to Joe. Be nice.
I
wish I could have
saw that song started with, you know, I always wanted to make something about that shirt because it was so stupid that I had it. And then I wrote the lyrics out. Poetry. It's poetry. And then I texted Darren. I was like, I need to turn this into a song. He goes, what do you want it to sound like? And I go, it just got to kind of be like, boom, ba-ka, boom, boom, ka, boom, ba-ka, boom, boom, ka. And then he took that and turned it into the song. He sampled me.
So good.
He sampled me at the beginning and then turned it into the beat.
That's so
you
fun.
You know, that
That's
reminds
so
me
fun.
Of a Taylor Swift thing that happened. She had a dream of a beat and they recreated. Anyway.
It's fun. Someday we will make a full weird like semi-comedy album together.
I would love it. I would love Steve to be a part of that as well. But
absolutely,
you know,
not. He needs to finish Animals first.
Oh, yeah.
Last one. It's a silly, and then we'll let you go back to your life. Billy Roberts asks or says, Ava, is she single? No. Often dresses Darren in her own clothes. Do any of the rest of you wear your significant other's clothing and or let them dress you?
Oh, wow. More of a question for you guys. I love it. No pressure here.
Well, first, we can think about it, but like that's kind of like this weird video series, that like mini series you guys have made where she just dresses you.
It's funny. It's like what did the question say? Often, Ava often dresses him?
Yeah, often.
Yeah, it's happened twice, but yeah. Well, honestly, in real life, she really does put my best outfits together. I just don't see color how Ava sees color and
like a racist,
so good at textures and exactly.
You're right. She's wrong.
Damn, that threw me for a loop. But yeah, I feel so much more confident when Ava dresses me. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just because she's better at it, or it's like validation that, oh, this outfit is good. You know, because when I'm putting my clothes together, I'm just like, I don't know. You know, I have no idea of how to put together a good outfit. And yeah, so I encourage it. If you guys haven't done it, I don't know if you have, Elliot. I feel like maybe you would be in that world.
No, I mean not really. Not as much as you'd think. But I think we both, Grace and I dress like we do most of our shopping at like a 7-Eleven. Actually, literally a lot of her clothes are from gas stations. So we'll wear like maybe sweaters, but we mostly just wear comfies, which we ordered off of a Shark Tank episode, which are they're like snuggies.
I got them for my family for Christmas because you told me about them, and it was gangbusters. Great. Gangbusters gifts.
Wait, what are they called?
The comfy.
What are they called? The comfy?
Yeah, it's like a snuggie, but it's got sleeves, so it's like part hoodie and really big, and you can put your knees under it at night.
It's
pajamas. Blanket.
It's amazing.
So,
oh, wow, okay.
What we found is that we'll dress similarly without like thinking about it, and then one of us will have to change because we'll realize we're both wearing like the same colors and same color jeans and same. But that's more of a strange involuntary thing of like being in a bubble for 7 months.
Yeah, I mean, what about outside of the bubble, like pre-pandemic?
There's no outside the bubble. Okay. There's only our little world. Mamrie have the which, by the way, when I was coming here explaining who was on the podcast, Grace was like, "Wow, you're gonna do a podcast with two TikTok legends? That's pretty cool." Like they're like,
"Damn,
audio baby."
But. What was I going to say? Oh, I almost had it.
Bubble.
There's no. And this has been the valley. No outside the bubble.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, so I don't remember what the story was.
That's good.
I'm gonna
take the inspiration. I'm gonna have Heather just dress me up in her sexiest duds, and we'll see what it looks like. I've never really done it, but it sounds like it'd be fun, especially in the bubble. She has permed my hair recently, and I loved that.
Dude, I loved it. It looked like you were about to be on Broadway or something.
Aww. We're wrapping up there. Don't do that.
Dude, it looked good.
No, it didn't.
I fucking loved it.
I remember what I was gonna say. Her and Mamrie have that This Might Get Weird podcast, and one of their sponsors is the Manscaped thing.
That's so
which is
funny.
Stuff for your balls. And then they do it, they send you a t-shirt. It says Manscaped on it real big, and then the back says like "Ask me about my balls" or something like that in really big letters. But as you guys know, a lot of these sponsored t-shirts and clothes are the most comfortable clothes in the world, and so this is one of those t-shirts that I love wearing, and it's so comfortable. And I was on the way out the door today, and I was like, oh, I guess I gotta take this off. And Grace is like, yeah, you're gonna be around people, like you can't, like you're gonna be on camera, don't wear something that says Manscaped ask me about my balls in the outside. We're like, I know. All right.
Their
all right.
Fucking commercials on TikTok, literally, the first second is your balls.
Yeah,
are gonna
they're
be
very
happy.
Aggressive.
Oh, that's like, yeah, that's, your balls will thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, there
on
it is. Dude, that's a weird. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Straight
they're not
to the
lying.
Point.
We ended up being around one of Hayden's friends that is kind of in our quarantine bubble. Went over to their place, mm-hmm. and I was picking something up from their family, and I was wearing a Tushy shirt, the bidet company, and I forgot that I was wearing it. And
that's what I'm talking. Yeah,
the girl just started laughing. She's like 12. She's like, I love that shirt. And she's laughing. I'm like, what? I didn't wear a funny shirt today. And then I look down, and it says in like big rainbow letters, "Ask me about my butthole."
Wow, that's incredible.
And I was just like, I'm sorry. I should not be wearing this in front of you. And she's like, it's the best shirt ever. So,
is that their slogan?
It's a slogan. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. I love it. I really do.
Yep, I was in a spot. Anyways,
we that's cover
it.
All the nether regions. All right.
Okay, we're going to do the outro. The here we go. Darren, what song of yours do you want us to play over the outro?
Oh, my new song. Well, when's this come out? I don't know.
It comes out Monday.
Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
Then you can play I Love That For Me.
Hell yeah. That's great. Guys.
That's very nice of you. Thanks,
Darren,
guys.
Darren, where should they follow you to find you? Where do you want their focus to be?
TikTok, really. Just type in Darren. I think it's Darren. You'll find it if you Google it. All right. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. It really means a lot.
Yeah, we love you. Thank you for
love you
being
too.
Here. I'm very excited for you. It's a joy to watch you be joyous and make people happy. I love it.
Thank you. Love
this
you
felt
guys.
Great.
Appreciate
this
you.
Felt nice to catch up. I can't wait to keep catching up with you. And I'm going to call you and I'm going to call your dad and set something up. So.
I love that. I'm also going to listen to that song.
Dude, yeah, you got it. I'm really curious what you think.
All right. I'll let you know. I'll text you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, friends. I don't know what you need to figure out. I'm so cool, already figured it out. It took 29 years to get to this point, man. Yeah, my hair grows long, I don't have to hear what you think. I have so much to be confident about. So many useful skills.